All right, grab a seat. Let's roll on into our time to hear from God's Word. Hopefully you got a Bible from the prayer activity still. Open that up to Exodus chapter 20 if you do. We're in our second to last week of the Decalogue. Next week we'll wrap it up with the 9th and the 10th commandment. Today we're on 7 and 8. So let me set it up like this. A few years ago, my wife and I planted a creeping vine plant in our backyard. We leaned a trellis up against the back of our house, and we were going to have this vine kind of creep up this trellis, and it was pretty neat to watch, except it took a long time for this thing to grow. You know, we planted it, we watered it, we helped it get on the trellis and watched it as it clung to it and grew, and over 2 years it kind of was growing up this trellis, and it took time and patience, but it was really fun to watch, as you know if you've ever planted anything. But one day after I mowed the yard, I got the weed eater out, and I was, you know, edging around the fence, and I got up to the house, and I was listening to something on, you know, in my headphones, and I just zoned out for a minute, and just in a moment of carelessness, I just right at the base of the vine and just cut it right at the bottom. And you think, oh, there's no fixing that. You know, there's no duct taping or super gluing. There's nothing that can get that vine to get connected again. That eventually it withered and died and fell off the trellis. And it grew back, but what was there and what took 2 years to grow was gone in an instant. And adultery is a lot like that. Psalms 128, verse 3 says that a wife is a fruitful vine and that children are like an olive shoot that's a blessing that sits around your table. So God compares marriage to a vine. You've got to invest a lot. You've got to wait a long time. You've got to be patient if you want it to grow and to be fruitful. And you've got to be on guard against moments of carelessness that will cause irrevocable damage in an instant. So, seven rhymes with heaven, which reminds you, do not commit adultery. Good. So, Exodus chapter 20, we see the Ten Commandments, and we are in 14 and 15. So, here's our text for the day. Ready? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Amen. That's the lesson for today. You guys got it? Pretty self-explanatory, right? Well, let's talk about it a little more, because this was a big deal to the Israelites. All throughout the Old Testament, you see God charging the Israelites with being an adulterous nation. And he's not talking about they're committing physical adultery. He accuses them over and over, rightly so, of committing spiritual adultery. They have turned their back on God over and over and over again. They did. They walked away from him. They gave their worship and their love and their affection and their time to other gods. Spiritual adultery. So when he says you shall not commit adultery, it's a word they know well, and it would have grabbed their attention. I'm hoping that it grabs ours today also. Here's the big idea. You can honor the seventh commandment now, right now, by choosing purity and patience. That's how you guys honor the seventh commandment. Okay, so the word adultery, we know adultery is when a married person has an affair with someone that's not their spouse. Right, so you guys are in the clear for this commandment, right? Because you're not married, so that this has no impact on your life, right? Well, wrong. I think if we took a poll, if we had our text poll time, get out your text, you know, your phones, and let's text. Okay, option number one: do you want a marriage that is amazing and healthy and strong and lifelong and loving, or text in your code to that one, or text in the code to the second one if you would rather have a marriage that is broken and hurtful and distrustful and unfaithful. All right, where do you think it would fall? Everyone's going number one, right? That's what we all want, and you should want, and I want for you. No one's picking number two right off the bat, but we get there because of our behavior and our choices. So we all want a good marriage. And if we want that type of marriage, that amazing, powerful, happy, lifelong, godly, passionate marriage, if you want that, it starts today. Today determines what you do today, and in these years will determine greatly what type of relationships, including marriage, you have down the road. So if you want to be faithful in your marriage, and you want to set up yourself up for a marriage where you don't have sex with someone that's not your spouse, then start doing that today. Be faithful today. And in everything you can be faithful in, be faithful. And don't have sex with someone that's not your spouse. That's how you honor the seventh commandment. Practice purity and patience today. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." Let marriage be held among all. Not just let marriage be held among people that are married, but all. That includes you, right, and me. That includes all. All means everybody. So you can honor marriage today, the Bible says. You can honor your parents' marriage. You can honor your future marriage by what you do today. So it takes a while for a vine to grow, but there's a lot that has to happen for that vine to even grow and to be healthy and to even come up out of the ground. And what takes place in that time before will greatly determine how healthy and strong the vine is or the plant is when it grows. There's a lot that has to happen before you're ready to be married, before you can be married, and the health of your marriage will be greatly determined by what you do now in the meantime. So let me give you three things that we can do, you can do right now to honor the seventh commandment, honor your future marriage, and set yourself up for a marriage that honors and upholds the seventh commandment. Number one is plant the seed. So let's talk about plants a little bit more. It starts right now, understanding where the seed of this desire for love and passion and romance comes from. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you still think that boys and girls have cooties, and that's really cool. Stay there as long as you can. But most of you probably are starting to feel those emotions. Where does it come from? Well, let me tell you, God planted the seed in your heart for those things. It's a good thing. It's something that God wants you to have. He put it there. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because God first loved us. In Genesis 2, God creates Adam and says that it's not good for a man to be alone. So he created Eve. He invented marriage and gave it to us. So it's not bad or wrong to have this growing desire for love and affection and touch. It's not bad. It's a God-designed thing. God put that seed in your heart, that tug and that need and that want that you have. So protect it. In God's timing, it will be a beautiful thing. So protect it. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Song of Solomon 2:7 says, do not awaken love until the time is right. So protect it. Think about if you planted a seed in the dirt and you watered it and you waited and tomorrow nothing happened and it's still just dirt. And you're like, where is my plant? I want to see the plant. And maybe you even spend another day watering it and nothing happens. Who's gonna just rip out the seed and be like, where's my plant? I want it. Like, that's not helping the growth process. That's not helping the seed to be what its purpose is, right? I think that's what Solomon is saying here. Don't try to awaken or build up love or grow up love in your life until the time is right. In God's timing, it will grow. It'll be the right time. This is how we know that God planted the seed, is that we protect it and we hold it dear and we wait patiently. That helps you honor the seventh commandment. Here's number two. After you know that God planted the seed, he entrusts us to tend the soil. It's not just enough to throw a seed in dirt and just let it sit, right? We have to make sure that the soil that it's in is fertile and healthy and free from debris. So you would remove the weeds that come up. You would remove the twigs or sand or rocks that are in the soil. You want to get everything that might hinder the plant from growing out of there so it can grow when it's time for it to grow. If you want to have a marriage one day where adultery is not even an option, not even a thought, if you want to have a marriage one day where divorce isn't even a consideration or word that ever comes up, if you want to have a marriage one day that is you completely trust each other and are passionately in love with each other, I'm telling you, tend the soil of your heart now. That's what will get you there. So what does that mean? It means remove the junk, like I said. So to have good soil in our life, in our heart, we've got to get rid of the rocks and sands and twigs that have been implanted in us. And what does that mean? That stuff is the sin in our life. So get the junk out. Get the sin out. Stay far away from sexual immorality. Wherever there is sin, remove it. Sexual sin is different than other sins in the Bible. The eternal consequences of sin is the same. The wages of sin is death. Not this sin or that sin. It's the wages of sin is death, eternally separated from God. It doesn't matter what sin it is. But the way God describes the more temporary consequences of sin is way different. God really tries to help you understand that the temporary consequences of sexual sin are on a different level than a lot of other sins. That's why the Bible says that all other sins are outside the body, but sexual immorality is a sin against the body, where if you're a Christ follower, the Spirit of God dwells. God's trying to say, nothing will destroy or devastate you or ensnare you or cut you down more than sexual immorality. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been there and you've walked it and you still have the scars and the pain. So that's why it's so important to wherever you're at right now, whatever, who cares about the past, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at right now, tend the soil of your heart to remove the debris, remove anything that might hinder God being able to grow up an amazing relationship in the future. So here's some ways you do that. Don't be alone with someone of the opposite sex, behind closed doors with someone of the opposite sex. Stay far away from pornography, and if you're caught up in it, then find someone that loves you and help and cares enough about you that they would help you and set up boundaries. It's huge. Don't just date around. Don't mess around with people. That's just like throwing a bunch of other stuff in the pot with the seed that is way down deep in there, and hopefully one day that seed will find its way up through. It just muddies the water, and it just hinders what God has planted in your heart. Basically, every married couple, I've seen this. We were talking about it at our pastor's meeting this Thursday. Pastor Steve Holdaway mentioned it. Every married couple we see and we talk to that is having problems and is in the middle of an affair, and they're trying to reconcile and figure out what's going on here, or maybe they're not even reconciling. They're splitting apart. Every married couple I've ever seen that is in that process has been because one or both of them had sex before marriage. I personally have never seen a couple that got married as virgins and now is in the middle of some affair and adultery is on the table. I've never seen it. I'm sure that happens, but it's so much more rare. That's why what you do now just has huge impact on what your marriage is going to be like later. So stay pure now. Tend the soil. If there's one sentence that had the biggest impact on me when I heard it, and I wish I would have heard it in middle school and high school. I wish I would have captured this idea and ran with it and been my like life motto. It's this right here. And I've said it before. I'll never stop telling you this. Purity now paves the way for intimacy later. That's one of the most amazing things that you can drill into your head. Not just intimacy in your marriage, but intimacy in your relationship with God, intimacy in your friendships, and the depth of relationships that you have all around you. Purity now is going to be what put those paving stones to get you to that place later. Tend the soil now. Make it clean. Make it pure. That's how you honor the seventh commandment. Seventh commandment's not just for married people to be sexually pure. It's for all people to be sexually pure. So students, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Psalm 119 says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Give me life in your ways. That's tending the soil, turning away from temptation, turning to God. So that when sin comes, because when sin comes, it will just fracture, like that weed eater mowing down the vine. It just cuts. Tending the soil, keeping your heart clean is a way to honor the seventh commandment. And then the third one is feed the growth. You got the seed planted, you've got the soil ready and clean and fertile, and then you got to do something to help it grow, right? You have to put some sort of fertilizer or water, something to help it grow. And this is the most important thing you can do right now. It's the most important thing as a teenager. Feed your heart. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Students, pour those things into your life. The good things and the pure things and the honorable things, all the things that are worthy of praise. Pour those things into your heart. That's like the Miracle-Gro for spiritual life, spending time in God's Word and pouring great things into your heart. Psalms 119, 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's talking about the Bible. I mean, how would you describe the Bible? Would it be anything like that? Because that's talking about someone that really is feeding the growth of the seed that God has planted in their heart. So you want to honor the seventh commandment and set yourself up for a mind-blowing, passionate, godly, lifelong marriage. Pour good things into your life. Hang out with good friends, friends that take you closer to Jesus instead of farther away. Surround yourself with those types of people and spend lots of time reading the Bible and praying. Make it a habit now. So it starts now. To get there, it starts now. And you can honor the seventh commandment by practicing purity and patience now. So the seventh and eighth commandment are really about one thing. They are about taking something that is not rightfully yours. That's what adultery is, and that's what sexual immorality is. But also, it's what the eighth commandment is. Eight rhymes with gate. It reminds you to not steal, taking something that is not yours. So, man, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I really, really wanted a skateboard. I thought if I had a skateboard, I would be the coolest kid on the block, all right? So I wanted a skateboard so bad, I didn't know how to skateboard, but if I had a skateboard, I would be cool. Even if I could just carry the skateboard around at my side, and my cool factor would go up like a lot. So I wanted that skateboard. At Christmas time came, and I got my skateboard. And I started riding that thing everywhere. I didn't know how to ride a skateboard, let alone do any tricks or even hop on it. But I would go down the sidewalk, and I would be like flailing on my skateboard, and I was probably looking just like an idiot going down the sidewalk, but I felt like I was the coolest kid in the world. And then one day I woke up, and I had left my skateboard out of my driveway, and I looked out, and it was gone. Someone had stolen my skateboard. And I remember just as like a 9-year-old boy just being devastated that my ticket to cool had been robbed from me. And I spent like an hour in my room crying, just sobbing over my skateboard being stolen. In the end, it was probably a good thing because I looked like an idiot on that thing. It's probably like my best friend, like, Ryan looks like a fool. I gotta take the skateboard from him. But you know how bad it sucks when someone steals from you, right? It doesn't feel good. And it's hard when something gets stolen from you. So, okay, here's our second imaginary text poll for the day. Is stealing good? Yes or no? We'd all say no. We hate stealing because it's happened to us, and we don't like that feeling, right? Except, you know what, guys? We steal all the time. We all steal all the time. And maybe not like walk into Walmart and like walk out with a big TV or something. Maybe not that. Maybe that is a temptation for you. But we steal in different ways. We all take things that don't belong to us. We withhold something from someone that's rightfully theirs. We deceive people and believe lies, and we manipulate them and steal from them that way. We misuse God's resources and kind of steal from God by mishandling the things that he's given us on earth and the money that he allows us to manage on earth. We steal time from teachers or parents or employers because we're lazy. We steal and we take things that we should not have. It's not in God's plan for us. So let's wrap up here on the stealing part with Ephesians chapter 4. If you have our ESV Bibles, it's on page 978. Ephesians 4, 22 through 28. Let me just read this passage here. Talking about, this is what Paul says. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds.
and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's next week. That's the ninth commandment. We are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Now listen, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor or work, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need.
So those verses that talk about the sin that we get messed up in, they all relate to the verses 22 through 24, of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. How good you do that in your daily life will determine how well you stay away from the sins that Paul lists, and others even. So the key verse is verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what it means to put on this new self of, I'm a follower of Christ now. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and we do that through God's word. A follower of Christ, a new creation, doesn't lie, doesn't get sinfully angry, doesn't steal. That's what Paul is saying. So then Paul gives us three specific steps of what we do with this sinning, the stealing problem. He kind of lingers for an extra verse on stealing for some reason, and we see three really neat things. He says, first, let the thief no longer steal. So Paul's first advice, my first advice to you would be, stop it. That's what he's saying. Stop it, okay? Let the thief no longer steal. And then he goes on and says, but rather let him labor, performing with his hands what is good. So instead of trying to take what's not rightfully yours, put in the work, put some effort into it, and earn what you want. And then third, here's the aim. Here's where we all want to get, even beyond what we just said. Let the aim of this work be that we would be able to give to those in need. So there are three types of people. Those who steal or take in order to have. Those who work in order to have. That's kind of like the American dream. That's what we all want. We want to work and get a good job so that we can have and accumulate, right? But Paul says, God's word says, our goal goes beyond that. Our goal is to work so that eventually we're able to give. And that's the flip side of stealing. Stealing is all about selfishness, where we want to have. But the heart of God is to give. All God ever has done for you is give. He gave you life when he brought you into this world. He gave you a family. He gives you things and money. I mean, we are so rich in this country. God has given us so much. He gave you his only son on the cross. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God has given you freedom. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you salvation. Everyone that trusts in him will have eternal life. So let's be more like that. Let's be giving, not trying just to accumulate, because that will turn into greed, and greed leads to all sorts of other sins like stealing. So if you struggle real quick with greed or selfishness or stealing, here's just really, this is going to be fast, real three quick things that gives us hope. Stealing, like any other sin, is part of the old self. So if you're a follower of Christ, if you want to make him Lord and Savior, Paul says, just put off the old self. You don't have to go back to the junk that's weighed you down, the temptations that you have struggled with. Just say no to it and walk with Christ. 1 Corinthians says that whenever you're tempted, God always gives you a way out. You will always have a way out when you're tempted. Take it. Number two. Stealing, like any sin, can be forgiven. It's not too late. No matter what you've done, maybe you've stolen 50 cents off your classmate's desk. Maybe you did steal a TV from Walmart. It's not too late. And think about these in relationship to the seventh commandment. It really is not too late to be forgiven of any sexual impurity that you have committed in the past. So, in fact, you've already been forgiven. You've already been forgiven through Christ. And he's just offering it to you. He just is begging for you to turn back to him. And number three, stealing, like any sin, can be and must be overcome by faith. Hebrews 13, 15, 5 and 6 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you." So here's how you keep your life free from the love of money and learn how to be content. This is how it says, knowing that God promised that he will never fail you or forsake you. So the way that you can protect yourself from greed and grab hold of contentment is to believe God's promises. When you believe God's promises, you don't need anything else. And all the striving and taking and wanting and greed just fades away. So what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the stuff of the world or this thing or that thing is going to make a difference in your life or make an impact in you? Or are you going to believe God's promise that he has everything that you need if you would just turn to him? So choose faith over those things, and it will change your life. Let me just wrap up with this statement, because the Ten Commandments is just all about sin. It's all about the different sins that we commit, and it's not a downer. Really, it should be uplift you, because here's the truth in all of this: that God loves you, and therefore he went to the cross. He went to the cross for all the times we've broken every one of these commandments, and he died so that we would be able to live a new life in him, and we would be able to live for his glory. And it is possible to do that. Let me pray. God, I thank you for these commandments that are just thousands of years old that we still can just cling to and know that it is for our good. We thank you for the way you love us, the way that you have spoken to us through your word. God, I just pray over the seventh commandment specifically now with these students that are struggling with impure thoughts, struggling with whatever they may have done in the past. God, I pray that we would find freedom and forgiveness and peace, and that we would practice purity and patience. Help us to do the hard things so that we would have a clean and pure life, ready and willing and waiting for you to grow up in us. Just a beautiful vine of love and romance and relationships when the time is right. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from temptation, that we would not fall away from you as we go from this place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.